I heard about this group of Catholic friends. They would gather in somebody's house on Fridays, and they would naturally eat fish. But they had a neighbor that would always cook meat. And after a couple of weeks, it bothered them, so they went over to the neighbor and they said, "You need to come over to the Catholic Church so we can baptize you, because you're not supposed to eat meat on Fridays." So anyway, to make long story short, a few weeks went by, and then a year after, right, so the neighbor got baptized by the priest, and the priest said, "You were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, and now you're Catholic." The next Friday, they smelled that the neighbor was still cooking meat. So they looked over the fence, and they saw the neighbor saying to his meat on top of the barbecue, "You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, now you're a fish." Okay, are you guys awake? All right, look, it's just a joke. Please don't call the bishop on me. It's nothing theological. It's just to get you guys started. He was lost but is now found. You guys have heard that expression, "I got your back, I got you covered." So this afternoon, I want to talk to you about how God will always have your back. I love the stories that we heard from the first reading to the second reading, all the way to the gospel, because it shows us how God feels about us when we turn our back on Him and when we take the wrong direction. It demonstrates to us how big God's love is and how tremendous His forgiveness and His mercy is. If we're all honest, we've all made mistakes. We've all committed sins and done things that if others found out about it, we're not proud of. And I think when this happens, it's very easy for us to either live guilty, condemn ourselves, or sometimes even judge others that have wronged us. And for some people, they get to the point where they don't even feel that they should ask God for help because they've been disqualified. Their performance wasn't up to par. A few years ago, I was talking to this lady. She's in her 50s, and she came in to talk to me, and she was like, "You know, Father, I stopped asking God for help about 10 years ago." And I was like, "Why? What happened? What did you do?" And she was like, "Yeah, when I was a teenager, I got pregnant, and I had an abortion. Then a few years later, I got pregnant again, and instead of keeping the baby, I gave it up for adoption. A few years later after that, she said, "Father, I finally got married. The first 5 years, it was great, but then after 5 years, it was downhill from there. We got a divorce, and I have children with this man, and now my kids won't even talk to me." So this lady feels like she's been disqualified. We understand that God is on our side when we're doing things right, when we're resisting temptations, we're obeying God's command, right? We're following the Lenten observances. We know God is rooting for us. But the beauty of God's mercy is this. Even if your performance is not up to par, even when you take the wrong direction, God doesn't say, "You know what? You had your chance. You blew it. See ya. Sayonara. Wouldn't want to be ya. Too bad for you." God doesn't do that. In fact, it's the other way around. When we fall, God comes after us, and not only will He take you out of that trouble, He'll take it one step further. Right? He will clean up the mess that you've made. But in order for this to happen, first, you got to be like that son, right? And recognize that you can't go through life either blaming others or blaming yourself for what's happened. You can't be saying, "If only I hadn't taken those drugs," or "If only I hadn't hung out with the wrong crowd," "If only I hadn't got divorced," "If only this person or my parents hadn't hurt me when I was a child, then I wouldn't be as angry or as resentful as I am right now." Because you see, the accuser, that's the enemy, will always tell you, "You got what you deserve. You know who you are. You know what you did. You know the person that you are." But don't listen to the enemy, because that's not what God does. Maybe it's a relationship that you got involved in and you're not supposed to. There's an alarm that went off. Now everything is a mess. Maybe you're in a marriage like that and you're thinking, "How is this going to turn around?" Or maybe your parents told you not to hang out with a certain crowd or not to do certain things, but you did it anyway. And you're sitting here thinking, "I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how God is going to redeem me from what I have done." But the good thing about God is He doesn't say, "I told you so. Next time maybe you'll listen to me, but now don't bother me, I'll be in Cancun, all right? Don't be texting me or calling me or I'm way too busy. If you don't believe me, well, listen to what happened in the gospel reading. There was this young man, all right, self-centered young man, and all he thought about was himself and his pleasure and his self-gratification. For a first century Jew, before you can get your inheritance, your parents would have had to die. So to put it in perspective, this son, this is what he basically told his dad. Hey, pops, I can't wait for you to get old and die. Why don't you die right now so I can get my money and what's supposed to be mine? It was totally disrespectful. It was totally shameful. And it was totally one of the worst things you can ever do for your parents. So I asked the parents here, imagine if your son did that to you and told you, hey, listen, pops, give me what inheritance you're going to give me, like now. I think most dads will say, you know what? We're done. If you're going to do something like that, I don't ever want to see your face again. And imagine if your son had the audacity to come back after squandering his money with prostitutes and drugs and all that stuff, and he tells you, oh, forgive me. Most dads will be saying, we're done. You're just as good as dead. How dare you come back to my house? You've shamed us. You've shamed our family name. Don't even step into our property. Get out of here before I call the cops. That's probably what the brother expected, you know, the good brother that stayed with his father. And it's understandable. Sometimes we can relate to that brother that does all things, or at least in his eyes, right. He was probably thinking, if my brother ever came back, it's payback time, baby. Dad is going to make him crawl. He's probably going to tell him and embarrass him and say, look, you are a shame to this family. Get out of our property. But that's not what happened. What's amazing is this. If you paid close attention, when the father saw his son from afar, it said that the dad was moved with compassion. And he didn't make his son come to him. He ran to him and hugged him and kissed him and embraced him. It was like, what? Imagine if you were the brother and you saw this, like, what is going on? How could my father do this? This is disgusting. This guy is a shameful man. How could he even take him back? And notice, you could imagine how that brother would have smelled. He was with the pigs. He was tending pigs. For a Jew, they had strict laws against eating pork, right? And this guy was tending the pigs, even eating with them. You could imagine, you know what? This guy didn't even practice his faith. The father would have thought, no, you've shamed us. You've done everything wrong. You can't come back anymore. And look, no, listen to the words of the son. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be your son. Treat me as one of your servants. So you see, the son thought that it was over for him, that he got what he deserved. But notice how God reacts, right? Instead of treating this kid as a slave, the father treated him as royalty, right? He didn't tell, hey, you know what? Clean up, wash your clothes, wash yourself up, and then I may even talk to you. No, it says that he went to him, he put a golden ring, put sandals on his feet, and had a fattened calf slaughtered because his son was dead and now he is alive. See, that's the kind of God that we serve, right? Even when you think that you've messed up, God will always have your back. And after this experience, this son realized who he really is as the Son of God. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of you. Some of you right now, you may be sitting here, you're thinking, I've messed up. Or this person messed up in my life. I could never forgive them. Or God could never forgive me. What you have to understand is this. When you fall, God doesn't run away from you. Maybe some people do, right? We always hear it say you'll know who your friends are when the tough time comes. When the going gets tough, people leave and they're like, see ya. But that's not what God does. What God does is this. When we fall, he pursues us. He goes after us because he wants us to be reconciled with him and with other people. That's what it says in the second reading. God loves us that he sent his son so that we can fulfill the mission that he has entrusted to us. So just like the prodigal son, don't think that you have been disqualified because of your past mistake. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's a dysfunction. Maybe there's trouble in your life, in your family, and you think it's never going to turn around. God controls the entire universe, right? God can turn it around for you, but you've got to do your part. And you got to pray like this, like, God, I no longer deserve to be called your son or your daughter, but I know that your mercy is bigger than any mistake that I've ever made. That's why I could never understand how people could not forgive others when God is so forgiving to us. If God gave us what we deserve, none of us would be here. Nobody can make it. Think about it. How many times do we fall, but when we get back up, we go to confession, talk to a priest, right? We are reconciled with God, and God embraces us with open arms. It's just like that song that I saw on YouTube. It's called Hurry Home, and the lady, the young girl, ran away from her father's house, and naturally the dad was brokenhearted. Any good father would miss their son or daughter, so he left a voicemail or a message on the machine. And I think if God were to sing to you, if those of you that are thinking that you've been disqualified, this is what he would sing. It doesn't matter what you've done, I still love you. It doesn't matter where you've been, you can still come home. And honey, if it's you, we've got a lot of catching up to do, 'cause I can hug you on the phone, so hurry home. He walked in just in time to hear her say, Dad, I'm on my way. That's what God wants to hear from you. He wants to say, Father, I'm on my way back home. Remember what I said. You haven't been disqualified just because of your past mistakes, just because you haven't been up to par. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. You can run away from him, but he's saying you can't outrun my mercy. He will always be there waiting for you, ready to help, ready to clean up the mess that you've made. But if you allow God to be part of your life, if you'll do your part and honor him, obey his commands, if you need to go back to confession and do it, there's nothing that God won't do for you. And remember, anytime that you have a doubt and you have that anger in your heart, maybe it's not God, maybe it's somebody that hurt you, just remember of the forgiveness that God has for you. And sing those words in your head. Because God, that's what he means. It doesn't matter what you've done, I still love you. It doesn't matter where you've been, you can still come home. Once you believe that you can still come home anytime in God's house, and you do your part, and together we journey to the heavenly Jerusalem so we can become that holy, healthy, and vibrant people that God created us to be. Do you believe this? Can you give a shout out, amen?